Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Wow.
Wow. Guys.
We are both blown the fuck away by...
We have to go right into this.
Yeah, we just have to tear it apart. I'm Lara.
I'm Carrie.
And you're listening to...
Sexy
Unique Podcast.
Salty Utah Queens. Reunion, guys, part one of an explosive three-part reunion. And
yeah, okay,
truly, like, where was this energy the whole season?
I'm unclear. I was on the edge of my seat watching this. I went into the reunion being like literally it crossed my mind. I was like, do we even need to record like three episodes? Like, I'm kind of done with this flop season. Like, why are there three reunions? I don't get it. And then I watched and my jaw was on the floor and my heart rate was accelerated. And I was rapt, and now I can't wait for the next two reunions and I can't wait for the next season of this show.
Yeah, it's good, guys. I mean, I too was kind of like, I don't really give a shit. Like, I feel like we're going to be phoning in this reunion recaps, but no. Just when you thought this season was sort of done and cooked and setting a tone for kind of a boring flop franchise. No. They came in and they brought the same energy that we had in the first episode. It's what I needed. Mm-hmm. And I think my theory is that the time between filming and now has probably been so long that they're just so ready to fight and like get in it. And I think they have a lot to say, and they've been like holding it in for so long.
Yeah.
So I think they were ready to go 6 feet apart.
I loved that set too. I was like, oh, cozy, God. Cozy snowtime Utah vibes. It was really soothing to me see that.
It was like Gestad.
Yeah, I'm like really missing like a cozy winter moment right now. And that gave me the coziness I needed to live another day.
Yeah, it was great. I was surprised to see that it was filmed in New York.
Oh yeah, I didn't catch that.
They did, because like, at the end, Lisa was like,
at the very beginning.
Well, at the end, Lisa was like, I'm from here. New York is my home. So they were, I think they were filming the reunion at a studio in New York. So that's probably why we got the luxe set. They really went all out in this set. It was a winter wonderland.
Mm-hmm. Blown away. Great set decoration. That should be up for like an Emmy, whoever did that set.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like Restoration Hardware, Pottery Barn, you know. Mm-hmm. Just a vibe.
It was deep resto vibes.
Deep resto, chalet, chic.
I love a fire pit.
Oh, yeah. Those seats look really comfy.
Sheepskin throws.
Yes.
I love logs of wood with each has like a little tiny bit of snow on it because it's been outside.
Mm-hmm.
It really was everything. I've been craving. Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite outfit?
Honestly, probably between Meredith and Mary.
Okay, yeah, I have to give it up to Mary. She looks incredible.
Yeah, she was bringing it. I didn't like her fur. I could have done without that, but I love the dress. Meredith looked great. Everyone else looked a little like New Jersey prom.
Meredith's dress, like, I love the cut of the cleavage.
Yeah,
but I'm always weirded out by like a tuxedo dress.
I guess that's true.
Like it's very like Halloween color scheme tuxedo to me. So I was like, But she looked incredible.
Yeah, I think they all looked a little costumey, but I think Mary looked the most herself, which I was into.
Yeah, definitely. And Lisa looked she looked great too, but she was extremely tan. She had a real spray tan issue, tan hands. And then she looked like, I love the hair, but the dress also seemed really casual compared to everyone else's.
Yeah. I think Lisa's looked way better on the show. Like, I think she's pulled looks that were more chic and like elegant on the show than in this reunion. And I think she was like back in New York, probably feeling her city, native New Yorker, and just went to like a spray. She went to Long Island to see family and was like, I'm going to go get a spray tan, you know, and just went for it.
Yeah. She did not wash her hands after that tan.
Yeah. I think she came like straight from, like, she did like a 5 a.m. spray tan.
So it's just going to get darker and darker as the day goes on.
Yeah.
It's dangerous out there with spray tans.
I like Jen's hair, but I didn't like her. I didn't like the dress.
No, I didn't like her dress. I didn't love Heather's dress.
No.
And Whitney confused me.
Yeah.
I mean, she looks great, but the dress is like, it's just a lot for me.
Here for Whitney's boob lift. Here for
love a plastic surgery Q&A where people come clean. That's my dream question. And so I was here for all of the people that like laid it out on the table.
And to those who weren't,
I'm
Mary,
keeping my eye on you,
Meredith, Mary.
Yeah,
we're your ones to watch. We'll just say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for Mary to confirm her complete facial reconstructive surgery.
Her complete like face off that she had.
Total face off vibes. So, you know, Andy looked hungover, by the way.
Yeah, he seems a little like worse for wear.
COVID?
Maybe COVID, and maybe just like the general stress of having to like, he had COVID right at the beginning. He was one of the first. And maybe just the stress of having to like gather with people and like shoot something mid-pandemic.
True.
While also raising a child.
His sweet son.
Benjamin. He's so cute. I can't believe how big he is now.
I know. I love that, like, knowing where, him and Anderson's time? Kid are going to be friends.
Best friends.
Yeah.
Anderson's kid also looks a lot like my godson. So every time I see him, I'm like reminded of my godson.
Oh, a sweet angel himself.
A true cherub.
Cherubic. I liked seeing Andy kind of do his little walkabout in the beginning where he goes to each of the women's dressing rooms.
Is that the first time that they're meeting him, IRL? It seemed like it.
Or just they haven't seen each other in a while, maybe. But yeah, some of them did seem a little, like, he seemed kind of shy around them. They, like, it was interesting to see him, how he vibes with them. Because I don't think, because they're not, he's not that familiar with them.
He doesn't do, like, he is just, like, executive producer or, like, gets the credit. But I don't think that he, like, chooses these women or vets them or has anything to do with, like, day-to-day production of the show.
No.
So I would assume that he just watches it and then meets them at the end at this point.
Yeah. Probably like in the beginning, I think he would pick and be part of that. But now.
Yeah.
Like with, I think like Vicky and like the, like I think he was, that was very him. But yeah, I think he was maybe meeting them. I think he probably knew like Meredith though. It seemed like he had a rapport with a few of them. So maybe he's like Skyped. Anyway, but it was just, I just like seeing him talk to them. Seeing him with Mary was like, felt uncanny valley to me.
Yeah, it was two holograms interfacing.
Mm-hmm. Seeing Mary at all was just, and knowing, and seeing how much of a player she was in this reunion.
Yeah, she really brought it and like was very like lucid and it felt like she was part of the group, which was weird after seeing her be
isolated,
so distant from everyone else and just like in her bedroom.
I love that Mary kind of chimed in any conversation that was happening when she was not involved. Mary had to chime in and she always, she made a salient point, but also a point that was often explosive and she really just like stuck her nose in everyone's business. And I really appreciated it.
Yeah, I did too. She knows how to, like, she makes a lot of sense when she talks. And, like, I think she's kind of a good moderator of, like, conflict.
Totally.
Of being, like, this person needs to hear this, and, like, you're trying to see that. Like, I would even love it if she just took over the reunion and, like, swapped seats with Andy, and then she just ran the show from here on out.
I mean, she is a first lady after all, so she's very good at delegating and mediating. So I think she, you know, she's definitely a she's not afraid to be in the mix, which is
not at all
hopeful for me that in season two they'll let her be more in the mix with the other women, and because I'm now,
or
like,
she'll want to be.
Mm-hmm. I'm now convinced that she'll be returning.
She has to.
She has
right?
to.
Like, you don't give up this much of a performance if you're, like, gonna leave.
Yeah.
We need to see that. We need to play this out and see where it goes with old Mary.
Totally. Can I just say my top moment was when Heather is getting emotional when Jen's speaking about her deceased father, and then Heather discloses that her dad died last April. And then everyone's like, wow, I'm really sorry to hear that. And it's like, there's a silence. And then Mary just goes, mine too. And Lisa goes, oh, really? I had no idea. I'm so sorry. I didn't know that that happened. And then Mary goes, yeah. And doesn't elaborate. I need to play that.
Just,
I recorded
like, confirms,
it. It was
truly
incredible moment.
My dad passed away in April.
I'm sorry.
Mine did too.
Yours did too? I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
Mary, I'm sorry.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I posted that on Twitter and Joel Kim Booster responded and was like, love not knowing if she's telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, she's,
you'll never know.
She keeps us on her toes. And I love that, like, anything she says, even if it's like relating to someone after losing a parent, like, you're not sure if that's the truth. And that's why Mary is so compelling, because she's so mysterious and like, kind of, she's very haunting, and I like everything she says is kind of done with a smile, and you don't know if it's real, and that's why I think it was that moment was truly shocking to me.
Yeah, it's, she's, extremely tapped in, but also extremely tapped out.
Yeah.
She's like duality.
Yeah. She's one foot in the other side. And that's mm-hmm. why we need her to stay.
Yeah, we do. We need a mystical element to the Salt Lake City realness.
But she was not in a place of Tir na n'Og tonight. Like, she was fully in the real and in the, you know, in this plane, which I was
true
pleased about.
But I do believe the other side is calling to her, and she does succumb to their calls, like at
always.
Some point in the reunion. Like, when she falls asleep, like, I believe that she's transporting herself to Narnia.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. that was wild.
I can't wait for that moment. I love at the beginning when Andy is like addressing each of the women and kind of introducing them. And he was like, Lisa, is God mad about your alcohol brand? And she goes, no, he's not. I ask him every day, and he keeps blessing me with more sales.
She goes, God will never care that I own a tequila company.
He goes, how do you know?
I ask him every day.
And then he blesses me with more sales. All right. Fair.
I like when I forgot that this happened, but Rihanna DM'd Heather on Instagram and was you give me life. And
they had a friend
Andy asked
fest.
About that, and just seeing shots of other women like just seething with jealousy was really nice.
Yeah. Love a facial reaction. Andy also let some really like wild questions through. Like, nothing was off limits. And like, he was letting the questions be like pretty insulting.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, Mary, what was up with your hair? Did they not have any like black hair salons in Utah? And she's like,
she kept it real.
She was like, I know. No, they didn't. And I know my hair was really bad. And I felt that.
She goes, it hurt my feelings, my hair.
Yeah. I get that. Like, sometimes everyone's hair has a moment where it turns on you and it betrays you and deeply hurts your feelings.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I really appreciated Mary just flat out. Mary, the good thing about her is, like, she is self-deprecating. Like, she'll drag herself.
She has a sense of humor up to a certain point.
Yeah.
And I guess that point is like when it comes to her church or the fact that she's married to her step grandfather. That's where the self-deprecation completely stops.
Uh-huh.
Like, no questions asked, no humor about either of those things.
When it comes to her cult, Mary is not a loller. But when it comes to bad hair or questionable outfits, Mary can roll with it.
Mm-hmm. I love Heather being like, my hair was
yeah,
bad was too.
Like,
and then Mary goes, no, my hair took us all home. And I like that saying.
I was kind of like, Heather, stay out of this.
Yeah.
We talk about the thumbs up gate when it's so crazy. All compared to this reunion, all the drama and the fighting seems so tame and like muted compared to the full throttle, like, these, they're going for the jugular in this reunion with each other. It's like, it's such a far cry. Like, they were fighting in this reunion like a New York season, like late series New York reunion fight, where they're just like going for it. They're all just used to each other. They're just flinging bombs at each other. They were fighting with each other in a way that denoted veteranship and like kind of old hats at this. Like, I was very impressed by their kind of comfort in this setting.
Yeah, I'm, because then I also, like, watching back, I realized that like there were instances of conflict like very steadily throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason it just never added up to like an explosive or dramatic like through line the entire time. And maybe that's just on, I don't know who that's on. Like, maybe the women, I just thought like, oh, they don't care that much, I guess. Mm-hmm. Or maybe like the editors are not editing it in a way that kind of shows that, because like I forgot about Thumbs Up Gate and like Lisa being so rude at that dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And
I forgot about Lisa icing Heather in the opening episode.
Yeah.
Like I forgot about all of it.
To be resolved rather quickly. And I guess like neither of them cared after that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was just like those moments of drama that you expect to be held on to and like push through. And really the only person holding on to any sort of anger and resentment was Jen. So then she became like the focal point of like her anger became the focal point.
Jen was very tame in this reunion. And I think she's had like some kind of media coaching or something, because she was extremely or she was on like Ativan or
beta
something.
Beta blockers.
Because she was extremely chill in this for Jen.
Mm-hmm.
Like she got a little emotional, but she was very, and I'm sure that things will escalate, but she was extremely like, okay, like putting on airs of calmness.
Yeah. We like also talked about Jen versus Meredith, like in regards to her comments about Brooks and his like collection of a singular mm-hmm. tracksuit. And okay, my thing with Jen and Meredith is like one of them is lying. Like one of them is straight up just like not telling the truth about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
I kind of think it's Meredith.
I can't figure out who it is, but I do think, yeah, I kind of think Meredith too. Like, I think Meredith, and this is just my opinion. I'm not trying to like slander her good name, love her so much, but I think she like takes prescription pills and like forgets.
Meredith, I think Jen is twisted, but I think she's telling the truth about a lot of this. And especially later when they talk about like the night that, sounds like that night that Jen came over, they got like blottoed and like
shit faced.
They got like Meredith was smoking cigs, like Brooks was mad at Meredith. Like sounds like shit went down that night, and Jen ended up passing out in one of the Marx's bedrooms. Like Jen stayed the night.
But then she says
Meredith like
Meredith
invited
asked
her.
Me to,
and I
yeah,
remembered,
to
I thought
the night.
Didn't they have plans to have a slumber party?
I think they had plans to maybe have another slumber party after that, but then because of that slumber party got so messy, and because apparently Brooks and Chloe saw Jen's vagina and had no choice but to go to Best Buy to soothe themselves.
That was dark to me.
All future sleepovers were canceled.
That was dark to me, but I also related to that deeply because I probably would do the same. Because I actually had, I remember a night, a family tragedy had happened in my extended family, and my sister and I were home from college, and we like drove to a shopping center that had Best Buy in it to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. So I like get that.
Sometimes you just have to go to Best Buy.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was very like, what is happening here? And also on Meredith's point, it sounds like Jen has like accrued like a folder of
A dossier of incriminating
videos and photos of Meredith Marks. Like from her being with her side piece to like Meredith smoking cigs. Like Jen apparently videotaped Meredith smoking, according to Meredith, like videotaped her smoking cigs.
I believe that.
I do too. And Jen was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, in the past she was like, I have photos of her with her man. So I was like, Jen, I think does collect. She seems like a collector of like damning evidence,
and not that she would ever necessarily use it.
But I know people that do that kind
Me
of
too.
Shit, where they just have it, and then you're like, why would you do that? And they would never show it, but it's like a power move to just like establish that they have shit on you.
And for whatever reason, Meredith seemed really. Like, it was like a big deal that she revealed that she smoked cigs.
I love, she goes, when I have a few drinks, I might smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, once in a while. Brooks was apparently mad at her.
That's your business.
Yeah, she was right, though.
I love, and that is her business. You know what? Smoking is unhealthy, but you're allowed to do it.
Yeah, once in a while, if you need a fucking cig.
If that's what calls to you. That's what you need.
They got blackout that night. And I'm sure there is B-roll footage of that night and we will never see it. I'm sure there's footage of them getting.
Yeah, but I'm like, show the footage.
Release the Kraken. I want to see. I want to see Meredith and Jen like get, because you know they had fun.
Yeah, getting shitty and silly with each other, and like to
smoking
the point
a cig
where
on the
like,
deck.
Someone's smoking a cig and the other person's like, ha ha, and then like they pass out in separate beds, and then Jen leaves the next morning wearing Brooks's tracksuit. Like, why didn't we get to see that?
Jen was also 100% correct when saying it's not a fashion line.
It's not. It just simply is not.
It's one suit over and over again.
And has been the same suit for years now.
Meredith was like, Jen is correct to say that. Apparently Jen came for Brooks on social media.
But then they showed the one screenshot of a comment that she made back to someone else. And it was her just saying, like, you're going to believe that just because a white privileged family says that. So it wasn't really about Brooks. She probably said some other shit and then deleted it. But also, like, I shudder to imagine the kind of hate that these women get in like DMs and comments and stuff like that. Like whenever something happens, like I was just like, oh my fucking God. Like I cannot imagine.
Yeah. I mean, the Bravo fandom is like unhinged. So I cannot imagine the like basically terrorism that they get from people.
Yeah.
Because people are brutal about Bravo people.
It's insane.
So
it's insane. And I was like, I was truly like having secondhand like PTSD on like Lisa's behalf when she was like, the DMs I got, and like just being like, oh my God, like how would you ever be able to deal with that? And also like the shit like that any of them say on social media, like it's such a thing now, and it did not used to be like a sticking point in like reunions or drama or whatever, but it's interesting to see how social media has now played a big part in like conflict between these people on TV, because it is like such a horrible deal when someone talks shit about someone else.
But here's my thing, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I get really annoyed when a lot of the drama in the reunion is based off things that we don't see, the things that happen in the off season and like after shooting. And like they play it like they're not on a show when they're filming the show, and that they're not famous, and that they're not like, they don't all have like a lot of followers and are getting like, if you're going to have the social media be a part of the reunions, like you need to have it in the show too. Like you need to. It happened on every franchise of Real Housewives. They need to just stop pretending at this point. And I did it a few times in New York when they would like break the third wall or whatever. But like they need to just start doing that more, I think, because they need to keep the franchise fresh. And like social media apparent is such a big deal to all these women. So it's like,
yeah.
And a lot of shit goes down on Twitter. And so like, have that be part of the drama. Like, the editors need to leave that shit in, and like we need to see more of that going down, because it happens during filming, and it's annoying to me when I have to like, I don't know what they're talking about, and it's like more drama than what we saw on the season. So it's like, have that in, because that's going to be, I think that would create another element to, and a more real in quotes element of a show that's supposed to be about real people, of people dealing with social media and like the hell of social media and like trolls. And we need to see that more and not just save it for the reunion. And it's really annoying to me, and I'm impassioned.
I love your passion. I respect your passion. And I have to say that a show that really did a good job of like integrating social media drama was Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, no, that they,
like, I feel like they would talk shit about each other, but for some reason I feel like the housewives are treated differently. Like they're somehow above that kind of fray.
But they're not.
So they don't talk to it. But they're not. They all use it, and they all like,
they all shit on each other. They bully each other.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
Potomac, I think Potomac incorporates a lot more and is more realistic about social media, like especially with Monique and Candace. I think after that their like physical altercation, and I think they do a really good job at incorporating it. And I think the other franchises need to follow Potomac's lead in more ways than one. But I'm always like, I don't stop throwing this at us. It's like cheap. That's what I think.
Agree. I love the footage, the lost footage of Meredith and Lisa's birthday that Jen threw them together. I had forgotten that she threw them a birthday party. And for some reason, I thought that she threw a party for Heather. But it was really a party for Meredith and Lisa. And when they brought out the cake, and Meredith's cake was like a four-tiered, like beautiful white cake with flowers on it. And then Lisa's cake was a tiny square that said like, happy birthday, Lisa.
Yeah, we got like a full, so this is a great little montage. To realize that it was also Lisa's birthday was shocking to me.
And her actual birthday.
Birthday to me.
Happy birthday to me.
Me. And her going around to everyone going, it's my birthday.
It's also crazy that Meredith and Lisa are a day apart. They're like literally the same.
They are truly twins.
It's
they're
literally
twins.
Mulholland Drive.
They are, I think, just separated at birth. I would not put it past one of their mothers to have given birth to Meredith and then a day later given birth to Lisa, but realizing I cannot have two children, so I must give this woman up. And then having another family come and adopt Lisa, and then they were raised separately. But thank God Salt Lake City brought them back together.
When Lisa came out of her mother, she didn't cry. The first thing she did was look up at the doctor and go, happy birthday to me. And they were all like, wow, this baby is the most incredible like angel ever.
Yeah, she came out of the womb fully speaking and lucid
and ready
she,
to do
she
things.
Sang happy birthday to me, they said, how are you feeling? And she goes, amazing.
She looked at her mother and
go, then they said,
you look amazing. You're all amazing. I love everyone here.
I love that. As they snipped her umbilical cord.
Loving this.
And
I love
that.
And
I think her mom was a little too overwhelmed. She said, I have one infant and one baby that can speak in full sentences and like is talking like a PR girl. Like, I just don't think I can handle this. And Lisa said, I totally get it. I understand.
They were wheeled into that like baby room where they all are in those like tanks and everyone was crying. And Lisa was just going, you're all amazing. We're so amazing. Look at all of us. Look at us. This is so, this is very cute. I love this.
She goes, I love your hat, to another one of the babies. Because, you know, they put those little baby beanies on them.
Mm-hmm. And, like, love that.
Like someone came by to like check her swaddle. And she's like, love your stethoscope. Love that.
Love that.
This is an incredible room. It's amazing in here. It's so warm. Oh, I love that.
Love that.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Okay, I just need to comment that I found throughout the whole reunion, kind of until the end, that Meredith was very, she did not back Lisa up ever. Like she was kind of, and I wonder if they have tension, and it seems like they do, but I felt like she wasn't very like when Lisa was sort of getting roasted by everyone, like Meredith didn't come in to like defend her. Which I thought was kind of
Meredith
odd.
Didn't say a whole lot in the reunion, TBH. Like, she was kind of, like, in
on
her
pills.
Own zone.
Yeah.
On yeah. Like, I was waiting for her, because at one point...
Brooks was in her ear.
During Lisa's roast. Yeah. Brooks was like, mother, say nothing.
Yeah.
But at one point, Meredith did kind of perk up, and she was like, I would like to say something, and then just sat back and then didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. So I think that she just was having a hard time like keeping up with the action.
Mm-hmm.
I love Lisa and Heather fighting.
Ugh.
And then Lisa going, roll footage.
And then Heather goes, we're not going to be rolling footage here. Heather has been in therapy. She's found her voice even more. And I was just very into Heather just shutting down everything.
She's killing it.
She's fucking killing it. And she...
She is.
She hates Lisa. Like, she...
Yeah. But based on what? Just because, like, just because of Lisa's attitude and that she was, like, dismissive at the party? When they did roll the footage, it really was Lisa... looked like Lisa gave Heather the cold shoulder.
Here's the deal, though. I think they've known each other for 20 years, and they knew each other in college, so they probably have, like, long-standing confliction about each other.
Opinions,
yeah,
and like beliefs about each other.
I think that Heather and Lisa have not... I think Lisa... I still believe Lisa holds this, like, kind of newly minted Mormonism, where she thinks she has to be, like, looked down on anyone who's not fully, like, embracing Mormon, and... she probably felt a little threatened by Heather because of her, like, lineage. That's what I think.
She's on her high horse, her high Mormon steed, for sure. But she also, what's interesting about them is they're both, like, girl bosses mm-hmm. with their own companies and, like, their own, like, passion projects. So I think that there's a lot of competition that they probably feel with each other, like
totally.
Neither of them would acknowledge that, but each are kind of like threatened by it in their own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think they just are very
because they're kind of two sides of the same coin in a lot of ways. Like mm-hmm. they should be friends, but yet they don't. They're not getting along because they're similar. And even like Heather is pretty direct and like says it like it is, which is how Lisa is too. I think they just like butt heads over their shared similarities.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's just they just see each other in each other and they hate it.
Mm-hmm. Because people were coming for Lisa, but I honestly, and I understand why, but I felt very like team Lisa. Like,
I did
let
too.
Lisa just be Lisa.
And I think she was authentic when she shed tears about her kids.
Yeah, and like, okay, I'm sick of people trying to like Sundance shame her. It's 1 week of the year where she's unavailable. It's like her thing. Like, I love her being like, I have babysitters. I have a hospital concierge on call. I have a wonderful husband who actually likes spending time with my kids. I was like, honey, don't air yourself out that much. But like, support you in every your endeavors. Like, I love it. Like, let her fucking be unavailable, not answer the phone. She's working. She does not have to be there that week. I don't like that.
I really think she does. I think in her very Lisa way, she's a good mom and she really does love her sons. And she might go about it in strange ways, like having
forcing
them go
them
to like
be entrepreneurs and
at like make go a after school brand. To like a WeWork and like talk to some random girl who like does social media. Like, I think that's kind of strange, but she's trying. And I think I felt for her when she got all choked up and verklempt about her kids. And I think,
yeah,
you know, Andy was like, basically you don't show emotion and right now you are. And I think you're one soft spot. And she goes, it's my kids. I love those boys. Jack and Henry are the best things I've ever done.
They're everything to me.
And it's
beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And it's not like she's like an absent mother.
No,
like, of course she's like setting them up for whatever they need will be taken care of. It's just she has to be at Sundance.
I think Lisa was very targeted on social media. And I think she is rattled and she's the most, I think she was probably, I think even more than Jen, weirdly, was probably the most like drags, especially I can see like other parents being like holier than thou about her and like coming for her on social media.
Mom shame is so real.
It is. Let her live.
Let her fucking be the queen
of
Sundance. Yeah, Team Lisa for fucking life. I don't give a shit. She can have the worst spray tan of all time and have orange hands, but I ride and I die on the Lisa Barlow Hill.
Me too. She posted something this weekend like I don't subscribe to chaos. It was like some selfie she did and I was just like, fucking ham. Hell yeah.
Love that. She is chaos. That's why she doesn't have to subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Controlled chaos. She's in charge.
When Lisa was talking about, she was like, I still had fun at that party that was supposed to be for me. And she goes, and I had beautiful hair.
She knows what matters most in life.
And Andy kind of presses, she's like, you guys have known each other for a while. Because one of them said, like, I don't really know this girl. I think Lisa said that. And Heather was like, no, like, we've known each other since college. And Andy was like, why did you say she was a good time girl to Lisa? And Lisa, she's like, I heard an anecdote. And she heard an anecdote that Heather pressed her boobs up on like a window. And
I love.
And Heather was like, no, I've touched base with the people that you were referencing and they deny saying that. So Lisa either made that up or Heather's denying it.
But then Heather goes, I am a good time girl.
Yeah. She goes, and I'm a lot more fun than this mess, she says about Lisa.
God.
Damn.
Yeah, they go way back, and I feel like they just have their resentment and, like, stems from, like, being 19 to 22
mm-hmm.
and, like, having knowledge of each other then, and, like, the way they felt about each other then is, like, still playing out to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And they both happen to be, like, very successful in their own ways, so it's amplified. Mary defends her loofah look, which, like, okay.
Yeah. go off, Mary.
She goes, not runway Valentino. Not everyone can fit into that. And it's not for everyone. So I was like, all right.
Yeah, Mary kind of just is able to just shut it down. Oh, we talk about Lisa. Kind of the way she is a little dismissive of Whitney and kind of talks down to her. And they were talking about Lisa commenting on Whitney doing like twerking at Coach Shaw's birthday. And Andy was like, do you think Whitney's like a floozy? And Lisa goes, I don't think that. And then we cut to the confessional and she's basically like, I wouldn't dance like that in front of someone's husband. And then we got unseen footage of Lisa getting down.
She did the splits.
She did splits. Yeah, Heather was like, so who'd you do the splits in front of?
Yeah, so I wish that we had seen that, like, in that episode. Because it's stuff like that that just gives you more, like, context and, like, paints the picture.
Yeah.
But I think she does look down on Whitney.
She like, totally
I
does.
I think probably from, like, a religious standpoint. And then also, like, I think probably from a professional standpoint as well.
I think she just rubs, some people just rub people the wrong way. And I think some people just have kind of not, like, unarticulated dislike of people. You know? Mm-hmm. And I think I love Lisa, but I really think she's like very into the Mormon elitism. And I think she sees Whitney as like a heathen because she kind of dissented. She was like a dissenter and she and her husband had an affair and like it, probably scandal. So I think she just sees her as like a bad seed. And I think that's unfair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also Whitney is kind of annoying, like
totally
starts
annoying.
Drama for no reason. So,
and she insulted Vita.
She twerked and got on the floor.
She dared to insult Vita Tequila.
Mm-hmm. And you just don't do that about someone's brand.
Also, I was going to say, when you were talking about Mary, talking about her green outfit, she said she was talking about her outfits in general. And she goes, you know, not everyone can fit into these outfits.
Yeah. She goes, Valentino off the runway, not everyone can fit in. And I was like, that's true.
She's
basically saying, like,
drag.
I'm sample size, get over it.
Yeah.
Can't fight with that.
Can't
can't argue that. I certainly can't fit into off the runway Valentino. So
I sure as hell can.
Game, set, match, Mary.
Yeah.
I will hold my tongue. When it comes to fashion.
I'd love to wear what Mary wears, some of her outfits. I would love to wear them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to have a bedroom filled with any clothes that I could possibly want.
Off the runway.
That would be a dream. Right off the runway.
Jen denies getting plastic surgery and says she just has fillers. I think that's true. I think maybe she had a nose job.
She basically said she had a nose job because like her son headbutted her nose. But I think that's kind of like...
blame the kid.
That's like the cop-out nose job. Like I feel like Jennifer Aniston did that where she was like, I have a deviated septum. Like, and then she got a nose job. And like...
we all have deviated septums.
I know. Like a lot of women use that, but it's fine. Just say you got a fucking nose job. Like no one cares. I mean, I care, but I'm not going to, like, demonize anyone for getting a nose job.
I'm always, when people are like, oh, I've heard people say they had to get nose surgery because their noses collapsed from all the cocaine they were doing. And I'm always like, damn, I should have done. Damn, I guess I didn't do enough cocaine.
Yeah, I'm
surprised.
I'm shocked by that, but also not that shocked.
But yeah, so Whitney is also... is like, yeah, Whitney's like, I've had it all.
Filler, Botox, and then she got a boob lift recently. Love that for her. Heather stays silent. Meredith stays silent.
I was like looking at
Lisa
Heather.
Lisa stays silent. Yeah. But I guess you just assume that Heather's had like face stuff done because of her business.
Andy also mentions that Jen's going to have some kind of knee procedure that Heather does, which I was
I'm so interested in that. Like, I guess they're developing, there's something that you can do that's like a knee rejuvenation. I've actually like Googled this, but wow. I don't know if it's like a machine that does it or if it's, you can get maybe like Kybella injected into your knees that like dissolves fat. Like that's what some people get injected into like their under chin to
right.
Get your double chin to go away. I've just spent a lot of time like researching plastic surgery, especially recently, because I like got into a Kendall Jenner K-hole where I was like, I have to figure out like what she did to her face.
She got her lips.
I
think she got her lips done and like
she got her lips done. I think she got a brow lift or a Botox brow lift or that fox eye surgery.
Yeah, I think that they that especially the Kardashians, they like want their faces to look like filters. Like big eyes.
Yeah, but they perfected the filter plastic surgery. But it's like, can someone, and no website will actually like break it down and be like.
Well, she can't disclose that because she's, that would like kind of, I feel like that would make her, in her eyes, like she's supposed to be like.
Hurt
the super,
her modeling.
Yeah,
career.
She's supposed to be the supermodel. But like they all get shit done.
You look at their faces and you're like, your face is literally completely different from how you looked like 6 years ago. Like your eyes are bigger and like wider. You have like more space between your eyebrow and your eyelid. Like, just say it. At this point, just say it.
Just
like
I wanna
her
go
and Bella Hadid, just fucking say it.
Come on, Bella.
Just spill the fucking beans.
Spill the beans.
It's enough is enough.
Blake Lively.
Just say it.
Just say it.
We all know. I will scream this into the void until people are just honest about their fucking plastic surgery. It's not that big of a deal. With Instagram now, everyone sees it anyways. So it's like, if you really wanted to hide it, you would not post pictures of yourself. But you do. So just fucking say that you got like buccal fat removal and like fox eye surgery.
Oh my God, what if I came over like post-core to record and I just have fox eyes? You would be a little scared.
Well, yeah, if it was like random. Like, have you ever seen that surgery like on Instagram?
No,
have you seen like what they do?
No.
They put threads into your like right below your eyebrow and then tie them up like this. And at first, your skin is like puckered because they've literally tied like a spiked thread, and then your skin kind of like evens out. But the immediate after effect is like you look like your skin has been tied, like Hannibal Lecter style or like Buffalo Bill style. It's really freaky. And then actually, like, I've read a lot of things that say like you should not get like threads put in right there. Like it can.
That feels
like
an infection waiting to happen.
It just seems like not the answer. Like, I feel like if you're going to do that, you should just do a Botox brow lift.
Yeah.
I mean, it only lasts 3 months, but it's better, I think, than like getting your skin tied into a little bow.
It's fucking sick.
I just want honesty
and
transparency. Handy allows this question to be asked from a fan. To Jen, who the fan goes, for a woman in your 50s, you sure throw a lot of tantrums. And Jen goes, in my 50s, like, I'm not 50.
She's like 40.
And then everyone's like, yeah, you're not. Yeah, she's literally not 50. And then Andy's like, well, Jen, did Jen ever apologize to you, Heather, for like screaming at you before like she got in the car? Like, and Heather's like, no. And then Jen's like, I'm sorry.
And then Andy goes, Jen.
And she's like, what?
He goes, that was a pretty lackluster apology. And then Mary's just like, what does Mary say to her?
Well, but Heather's like, you know, I'm always going to be the friend. This is like the Al-Anon and Heather talking where she's like, no matter how anyone treats me, like, I'll always be the friend that like puts them in the car, make sure they're like, okay, blah, blah, blah. And Mary was like, really? Like, you need to choose a friend who's a friend to you. Because I think that's Heather's big problem, especially with Jen, is, like, she's going out of her way, like, bending over backwards and, like, caring so much, and, like, Jen treats her like shit over and over. And that's, like, the dynamic of their friend.
Jen's truly go girl, give us trauma.
Yeah, and Heather kind of takes it. I think she somewhat likes being in that role a little bit.
I kind of appreciated Mary being like, get a hold of yourself to Heather.
Yeah, that's not having like self-respect.
And I think that's what Mary was saying. I actually think Mary made a great point with that. That was a great thing to say. Be the friend that, how did she say it?
She said, you choose a friend who's a friend to you.
Mm.
And I was like, that's like an accurate read.
Yeah.
I think Heather's learning that.
She is. Going back a little, when Jen explains what she actually does for a living, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
She's like talking about SEO. And I was just like, she's coming out with these terms. And I was just like, over my head. And Lisa goes, yes, it's very lucrative. So, like,
Lisa knows.
Jen clearly is, like, the breadwinner, I think.
She's killing it. All these women are killing it. I love it.
Jen, yeah, we get to the part with Brooks and the weird night and the blackout night, the cigarettes. Something about New York. What does Lisa say? Oh, she goes, I'm a New Yorker. It's just how I am.
Well, because Mary starts talking to her and she puts her hand, like, she's like, don't say. And Mary goes, don't put your hand up to me.
Yeah, that's the big.
She goes, I'm a New Yorker. This is how I talk.
And then Heather goes, you've been in Utah for 20 years. And Lisa goes, I'm from New York originally. And she goes, I was born here. My mother's here. This is where I was raised. And I was like, all right. I mean, she has the voice. She has the accent.
Yeah. Also, it's like, let her, but she's not like putting her hand in your face.
She went, no one opens the door for a native New Yorker. Whoa.
I love the swingers conversation too, and how like defensive Lisa got over it. She's like, will defend Mormonism at all costs.
Yeah. Heather and Whitney are like, yeah, there's fucking polygamy and underground sex shit going on. I mean, they know.
Yeah,
they were
Heather
born
breaks
into
it down
this
in
shit.
A very real way. Yeah, she's like, it's the way for you to be like sexually experimental but still remain in your marriage. Like,
yeah,
if you're swinging with another couple. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. And Lisa goes, there are no swingers. There's not swinging.
She goes, that's that Mormon 2.0 thing.
Well, yeah, because I think that even Mormonism is like trying to rebrand itself to like get away from the Warren Jeffs of it all and like the dark sidedness. And that's been a recent development.
No, I think she was, I interpreted it as that she was calling Lisa Mormon 2.0, like the super radical, like the born again Mormons are more hardcore than like the, that's what I took it as. Like she was kind of saying,
I thought it was like,
Maybe you're right. I took it as her saying, like, the holier and thou thing is, like, what you would expect from someone who's, like, not born into it and is, like, kind of taking it really seriously. And because Lisa's like, that's not Mormon 2.0.
Yeah, I think I think Mormonism is getting, like, rebrand, or they're trying to, like, kind of distance themselves from that stuff. Like, I read something recently online that was like they're trying to like create distance between like and not be called, maybe it was like not be called LDS anymore, but I just assumed that it was like the 2.0 was like the refresh of the Mormon religion and brand, where it's like, oh, we're not polygamists, like we are not like oppressive, yeah, like blah 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 blah. And so like it, and in denying that, you're like participating in Mormonism 2.0,
yeah,
and not honoring the fact, but could be either. I love Whitney saying she would hook up with Meredith, not Seth, just Meredith. Same.
Yeah, that was because Andy was like, who, what couple would you get down with? And she's like, Meredith. I was like, John Barlow.
John Barlow, I'm gonna make this short and sweet.
Give me that. Give me that fire hose.
I want him on the bar low.
I want him on the bar. Mary says that she doesn't make people feel less than. I was like, Mary.
I love Lisa was not letting her get away with that.
Mm-mm.
She goes, I've seen you do it to people at your church. And I wish that people would go in on Mary in her church. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen. And I feel like that was one of the most explosive, like, revelations that came to light on, like, social media and, like, Reddit forums and stuff over the course of the season.
Yeah. I think there must be some kind of, like, zero, like, no, Mary's, like, I'll come on if no one talks about my church or something.
No fly zone.
But maybe there's still two more episodes, though.
Yeah. I feel like also probably as the, if she continues to be part of the franchise, it will get addressed eventually. How can it not? It can't go on like infinitely with everyone turning a blind eye.
She's a cult
leader.
Her
literal cult.
She's a literal, like, we're talking, we're saying like, LOL, Mary's iconic and stuff, but like, you and I are, there's no qualms
we
about.
Also say
we,
that
we are aware
full knowledge
that she's
of the fact
leading
that
a cult.
She is
and
a first wife of a cult, a
church.
Religious organization that is a cult church, that she was a
extracting
child
money.
Bride to her own step grandfather.
And they're,
like,
and they're
I've
taking people's incomes.
That.
Like, people are paying to get abused mentally, I think, by these people.
Her entire lifestyle is funded by the members of her cult.
Well, Andy did, at one point, he goes, did you ever find out how many houses you have? And Mary said, no.
No.
And I believe her, kind of. I don't think Mary knows the extent of this empire.
No. I mean, I think that she stepped up to the plate and did what she felt was her, like, duty, but, like, her husband and whoever his cronies are probably run the financial show.
Yeah.
I mean, she seems very much still like little girl playing dress up in my bedroom as like a coping mechanism for everything. But she also does participate in like, she does have a sense of power. She's a powerful figure and knows how to step into that role.
Yeah, but there's no, I mean, I think Mary, two things can be true at once. In life,
yeah.
She can be a victim.
They can.
She can be a victim.
Not know.
You didn't know? She can be a victim. No. She can be basically groomed into this role, but at the same time, abuse others and, you know.
And benefit
reap the benefits of people basically giving her their entire income, and so she can have multiple homes and, like, an apartment for her clothes. So like Mary's mm-hmm. on one hand benefiting from the abuse that she probably was raised in. So it's complicated. Yeah. But
it's complicated but fascinating, and I hope that we get to like have more of a window into that dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Whitney and Lisa discuss like their texting, and Whitney brings out like they both have brought copies of the text messages, which I loved. Lisa was like, I have them myself.
Yeah, anytime someone has like a paper copy of a text message is always a power move and has now become such a housewives like
trope
thing. But I love Andy going to go get the printed out text, and he goes, this is a bad Xerox, babe.
He's
text fail on Whitney's part. If you're going to print out the text, you need to make sure that they're entirely legible.
You knew Lisa had it bounded.
Yeah.
Laminated. I mean, no one will do it better than Monique Samuels on Potomac, bringing out a binder with organized. Each woman had a file on their, like, the shit that she needed them to bring
up
to her.
Oh my God, incredible. Yeah, and then Whitney and Heather really try and come for Lisa, and they call her dismissive, and she gets really bristly at that. And I think that it's just like, it really is just, they have clashing personality types, because mm-hmm. they are so, like, her and Heather specifically are so similar in a lot of ways. And then Whitney is annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would be over her too if I were Lisa.
Yeah.
What is she? She doesn't bring much to the table except her willingness to start shit when the cameras are on.
Mm-hmm.
In like a robotic way.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's Whitney's like this annoying, like an annoying younger person who's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think Whitney's, I grew to really like Whitney and be fond of her, but I think she is deeply annoying, and I would be annoyed with her, I think. But I also respect her and think she's funny.
Yeah, I'm, like, curious to see where she goes, because she doesn't have, like, a business, does she?
No, I think she...
She's still, like, in that process of, like, figuring out her brand, so to speak.
Here's the thing, though, that I appreciate, is that I really... I love that Whitney rides for Heather. Whitney,
yeah,
was,
I feel like this show's definitely bringing them closer.
No, I just love, it gives me chills because I guess because I'm Irish, but I get chills when I see family defending each other. Like, even with, like, the Real Housewives of New Jersey, like, whenever Melissa and Teresa were, like, to get a joined force on something, I always got like, I was like, oh, I love that. And I loved seeing, I like seeing when Heather's fighting with someone, Whitney will chime in and be like, yeah, you know, and I, because that's what I would do. If it was like my cousin next to me, I'd be like, yeah, what about that? You know?
Yeah, I like seeing that as well. Like, I like seeing them. It seems like they're closer than ever, and I'm ready for them to be like us against the world. I think that will make for like good TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also like, no one. I guess it's hard because clearly, like, producers are in Whitney's ear, being like, "Now is the time to go talk to Lisa about the tequila, like, bartenders from your party. Whitney. Now is the time to go talk to Jen about this and that." And so it's like, you, like, she doesn't do a good job of like making it seem organic. So in that sense, they can't really say, like, they can't come for her as much as they normally could, being like, "Why the fuck would you say that at this thing?" Like, Jen does that, but everyone else is kind of like, gives her a pass in a lot of ways.
I mean, Whitney is the plant, guys.
Yeah.
They called her in the beginning and they're like, "Hey, so we want to see if you're interested." It's like the government calling someone and being like, "Do you want to be a spy?" And you're like, "Sure."
They're like, "But you need to say you're going to have to incite all the conflict for the entire series, and you're going to need to be okay approaching every woman to like say something that will piss her off. Is that cool?" And Whitney's like, "Yes, I believe that will be okay with me."
Really, side note, I sent this to you yesterday, but Vanessa Bear was on Watch What Happens Live, and she did a reading of an interaction between Whitney and Lisa talking about Vita Tequila ruining her renewal vows, her vow renewal, and Vanessa is just like, not surprisingly, just uncanny at their voices.
Yeah, it's, she does a great,
it's like astonishing. Especially Whitney.
Yeah. Whitney, God bless her. I find her to be like deeply annoying, but I think I also just like hold it over her that she's like friendly with Lala and Katie from VPR, and I'm like, that can, I don't trust that at all. And so that colors my opinion of her somewhat.
Yeah. Yeah. They looked like, they seemed like they were having fun.
I'll say they did like they were having a good time.
I'll say they seemed like they were having fun.
Top shelf tequila that you cannot buy in the States.
From Ireland.
Top shelf.
I'm ready though. I'm ready for more. I mean, this is a great.
She brought it. If it weren't for her, there would not have been as much conflict. So she's doing her job and she's doing it well.
We have to stand Whitney.
Yeah.
I'm ready for more. I think that's kind of all that happens, right?
Yeah, I think we covered it.
But I mean, just like the first, the beginning of the season, they're good at first episode. So I hope that's not a troll on us. But I think the next two episodes seem to be even more intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm ready for it all. Talk about it all. Maybe it was just like there were such gaps between filming. I don't know. Something like didn't add up. And I know that we're in the minority kind of thinking that, but I stand by my read. I stand by you.
I stand by you. So, if you're mad, get mad. Don't hold it all inside. Come on and talk to me now. Hey, what you've got to hide. Sorry.
I love that song.
The first time I heard that song was in, do you remember Clueless had the TV show?
Mm-hmm.
That was like not good, but.
Terrible. Remember they cast not Alicia Silverstone, but like an Uncanny Valley version of Alicia Silverstone?
Yeah, she's been in a bunch of shit, that actress. She was in Sugar and
Spice. I know, but I was truly like,
me too. I was like,
you cannot do this to me. When everyone else was the same,
yeah,
but then she was just the one that was different. I was like, when Hollywood does that, I'm like, who do you think you are with this move?
Mm-hmm.
And also Alicia should have done that. Because her career went on a
She's having a resurgence, though.
She is. She was incredible in her small but powerful role.
The Lodge.
In, The Lodge, yeah.
And Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yes. And
she's in a new movie right coming out where it looks really funny. She's like the star of it.
She was also in something else recently that besides those. I love her doing like horror.
She was in Butter. That my friend that you know, Jason McAuliffe.
Oh, yeah.
Wrote. Good movie.
Great movie.
I'm ready for her anyway, but I'm ready for more reunion and I'm ready to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, sound off
more about Lisa coming out of the womb as a PR girl. Amazing.
This is amazing life. Amazing. No,
wow.
You can follow Carrie at eCarrieO.
You can follow Laura at Lars Marie.
And thank you to our editor, Jonathan Kornman.
Thank you, Jonathan.
As per usual.
Slay me, Jonathan.
And until next time.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.